This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. Intern Ryan's got the Periscope fired up. If you want to watch along with us as we get set to talk sports and other things for the next 3 hours on this, what are we at, Thursday? Thursday, June 24th. Well, Cameron?
Yes.
I think I know the answer to this, but how are you, my friend?
Phenomenal.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's another day.
It's another day.
Just going through the motions as usual.
Can't believe you were worried about that bum team.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, that does kind of look bad, Cam. Mr. Confident over here.
Oh, I was
bad. Mr. Confident over here.
Yeah, I told you I flipped the switch back. I was just concerned because I was like, I got to see it first. It's one of those things where we haven't been there. I want to see it first. I saw it. I'm in. Hawks and six.
How do you feel, Draven, after hitching your wagon to Chris Middleton?
I don't think I ever hitched my wagon to anybody in this series.
Chris Middleton was yesterday.
Whoa.
So
I literally, did we not forget the text message in the group text?
He looked a lot like
Tobias. When I literally said the Hawks can win this series, you remember that? That was the original statement that I made.
He looked a lot like Tobias Harris to me last night was all I was saying.
Yeah.
Looked a lot like Tobias Harris.
Jeez.
As far as I'm concerned. How are you, Draven?
It's been kind of a rough morning, to be honest. Just,
okay.
You know, frustration, back to the usual stuff. Just is what it is. I got this bump on my face, man. Size of
Stop
Texas.
Stop touching it. It's going to get bigger.
I know. Is it noticeable, be honest?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is now that I've seen it. I can't quit looking at it.
It's like Austin Powers with the mole, man. Like, what's he saying? It's just... That's what everybody notices. I'm waiting tables today. I know that's what everybody's going to be looking at when I'm
Get you some A-Rod's
Wear a mask.
Oh, yeah. I could. Is that for sale? Is that out there already?
Or I mean, there are the men's concealers out. I don't know if – or just concealer. I don't think it's gender specific. But A-Rod was making some, you know, to make just for men. I don't know if they're out yet or not. But that's for people like you, Draven, who are a little self-conscious that – You know, would maybe want to put that on before waiting on tables. You
Am
could
I not too old for this? Like in bumps on your face? Like when does the when's the age where you like don't get acne anymore? Is there an age? Do you still get kind of bumps here or there?
I don't ever really get. I mean, if I don't like wash my face for like 2 or 3 days, like I'll get like a blackhead or something on my nose. But that was one of the side effects of having rosacea. My cheeks are always a little flushed. But the dermatologist was just like, "You're not gonna get acne." So I was like, "All right, cool, I guess."
Huge plus.
He also was like, "You're not gonna grow a full beard though." He's like, "That's gonna hurt your beard growing a little bit. That's why it doesn't like grow great," which that kind of sucked. But either way,
no, most people become men, Draven, and then you stop.
Coming
so
at
you'll
my
get
manhood.
There one day.
Okay, wow. Coming at my manhood.
Starting
Cam.
Early here.
I was gonna say a little early in the show for all this, but all right.
I'm just waiting for everybody that's disrespected the Hawks ever. Just write me a formal apology.
The streets have been talking about like a Draven and Cam beef. The animosity that's underlying between you two.
What happened, Cam? Because we still haven't hung out. That's what it is, John. That's what it is. Me and you,
How long has Draven been on the show?
He
really hasn't. He's avoided me, like, actively.
It's true. I did see Draven out one night, and then he challenged me to a fight, like, the next week. So I don't know if that helped or not. I just don't think I forgot just because you've quit bringing it up.
Well,
I ain't forgot.
I might need to fight Cam instead by the time August rolls around.
You don't want these problems.
I don't know if we're joking or not anymore. I don't know if we're joking or not.
All right, here we go. Victory lap. Let's hear it. Talk about the game.
It was expected.
Get this out of the way. Quit saying it was expected. Just expected. Trae Young dropping 48. Was that what it was? 48 and 11.
He does what's needed.
I wouldn't say that was expected because that's literally never been done before in the history of the sport.
Yep.
You know, we keep having these first-time things for the, you know, in the playoffs with Trae. You know, at least sometimes it'll be like LeBron James or Kareem or Jordan or something, but – You know, the 20 points and 7 assists, no one's ever done that to start a career. He's got 13, which is the longest in history as well. Just anybody, much less starting a career, just anybody. Mm-hmm. 13 straight games with 20 points and 7 assists. And then last night became the first player in postseason history.
What was
to have 45 points and 10 assists.
What was the more dirty moment? Was the pass off the backboard to John Collins, or was it the shoulder shrug he just literally crossed up Holiday and just drills a three?
Well, I mean, that was like in a minute and a half span. Like, they came back to back.
Literally, that's what I'm saying. It was just like, what is happening right now?
They talked, you know, when your team wins, I like digesting all the content possible. I'm sure you're the same way. When your Cowboys get a win, I'm sure you love watching First Take and Skip and Shannon, like, hearing about them.
The highlights.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I got up early this morning. I was up at like 6:30, just, you know, taking it all in. reading the internet.
Like a kid on Christmas Day.
Taking in, sitting there watching Get Up, sitting there watching First Take, which First Take, I don't know what the hell they were on this morning, but, you know, on Get Up, they just kept showing the shimmy. They didn't talk so much about the pass off the backboard.
Get Up is with Greenberg, Mike Greenberg, right? Yeah, okay.
Such a dork.
I never really watch it.
No, I don't either, but I watch SportsCenter, and I'm like, okay, I'll switch it over, I guess. Like, I watched the 7 a.m. SportsCenter and then over 8 o'clock. Mixed in a little Good Morning America.
Okay.
I had to hear what they had to say about the Free Britney movement. Big win for Britney yesterday in the court of public opinion as she finally got her day in court.
Hey.
Good for her.
Audio leaking was pretty sad. So I think she's going to get – I think she's going to win. I think she's going to win.
Is this just controlling her money? Is that what this
still
is
like
about?
Yeah, her dad's like basically had control of like everything.
Right.
Since her mental breakdown, but – they were much more focused on the shimmy, which, by the way, I mean, Drew Holiday, buddy. Buddy, you can't have your reputation as this elite defender and get, you know, absolutely destroyed by Trae Young.
Cooked.
Mm. Although, I mean, he did to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, so, like, what do you think, Drew Holiday is going to stop him?
Yeah. I don't usually watch the shows after stuff like this.
I love watching after wins.
Because those are the same people that were trashing my team all year, so I don't want them changing their script now. I don't want to hear it.
Although I will say they had Vince Carter on this morning, and Vince Carter is an honorary Hawk. I mean, he was there for 2 years. He was going to bat for Drake. And I will say PJ Carlissimo. They had him.
Oh, old PJ.
He was back on, and I've never heard somebody bend the knee like this. He was basically just talking about how great Trae was. Like, I can't believe we didn't see this. Like, all year. Like, no one was watching. Like, you watch this, and he's like, I'm sitting here thinking, how could I have been so dumb?
Exactly.
They were showering praise. And then, you know, I'm feeling it. I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's see. Second hour of Get Up, a little repetitive. It kind of hit the same notes, kind of replay the first hour a little bit. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, okay, what's Skip and Max going to say? And then right when it started, does Trae Young have a higher ceiling than Steph Curry? I'm like, really? That's where we're going now? There's this argument about Steph Curry and Trae Young. I'm like, that's where we're going right now to start this? You can say that for the offseason, bro. Like,
well, let me ask you a question.
Which Max said yes. Max said Trae's ceiling goes higher.
Really?
Didn't necessarily make sense. He kept talking about Steph's like not winning a Finals MVP, which I guess Trae could win a Finals MVP in like 3 weeks, and that could be something. But like, I didn't really understand what the point that he was necessarily trying to make.
Who care about Finals MVP that much?
No, that was the point he was making. Like, I don't know. I mean, he's not Steph Curry in my opinion. He's Steve Nash. Like, that's what I've thought.
The way he played yesterday reminded me of Chris Paul, too. Especially with just getting to that mid-range, getting to his shot always. Like, he always finds a way to kind of get to his where he wants to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what Chris Paul does.
I don't want to overstate it because, obviously, I'm a fan, but I truly mean it. He is a basketball genius when you watch him with the ball in his hand.
Maestro.
I mean, he orchestrated that entire game, like every possession. Yeah. Like, whatever he wants is what they're going to get. Like, and his teammates weren't hitting shots, you know, and, you know, Trae was hot from three and then kind of got a little cool. I do still think in the fourth quarter he goes for the kill shot a little too much on those threes.
He does.
When he hits them, they're cool, but like, you know, sometimes like we don't need that shot right now. Trae, especially like when the Bucks were extending their lead and got up, I was like, what are we doing? And then, you know, don't worry, brought us back. That's
part of the confidence they have, honestly. Like,
oh, yeah, sure. Sure. The end one, the pass to Collins, which shout out to John Collins. That's the second huge threes hit down four late in the game.
Also, like a couple key offensive rebounds. I feel like John Collins played great yesterday. Oh, yeah. I mean, the energy, he was huge.
11 for 16 shooting.
John Collins has played himself into max contracts. Whether the Hawks give it to him after the season, he takes a little discount, or they make him go and get it from a different team and then, you know, match it. John Collins has played his way, you know, into the future plans of Atlanta. And, you know, that was another thing. Cam talks about the disrespect. I mean, they disrespected Collins for a while, too, acting like him and Clint Capela couldn't play together. They looked like a pretty damn dominant front line to me last night. And really, in Game 7 against Philadelphia, they have beat up teams on the boards and teams with big front lines. I mean, like,
what, they combined for, like, 31 rebounds?
They combined for 34 rebounds, 34? 9 of them offensive. And, you know, they had big offensive rebounds in the last couple minutes. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Capela won the game on an offensive rebound, which, by the way, like, how do you not foul him, Giannis? Like, are you that?
Yeah, they do that to you, bro. Just
like, well, do you not have, like, any basketball awareness?
It wasn't just him. There was, like, three Bucks in the paint who just kind of watched him go up.
But, like, Drew Holiday probably would have fouled him. It would have been an and one because he's not strong enough. But, like, Giannis is behind him, like, and Giannis has his hand straight up behind him. Like, what are you? That's not going to affect him. He can't see you.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally 6'11". Jump up and try to block it. And if you foul him, like, who cares? You have only four fouls, like you can afford one, and Capela shoots like 30% from the free throw line.
Yep.
I just thought it was a really lack of basketball IQ from him last night in that situation. But, like I said, John Collins beating the Bucks up on the board. I did see that I believe it was over the last like 5 minutes of the game, the Bucks didn't have one rebound.
Really?
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
From like the 450 mark or something like that, it was the Bucks didn't have one rebound.
Huh. Oh my lord.
They either hit their shot and didn't have an offensive rebound check, chance, missed it, and the Hawks got the rebound, or the Hawks got every one of their misses. There's a couple possessions where the Hawks got two or three offensive rebounds. The one where Collins hit the three was two offensive rebounds, and then, mm-hmm. you know, it's kept the game alive by cutting that to one. I don't know, you know, what to really say that I haven't said about Trae Young. Like I said, I do think he is just a basketball genius, and I do think people are realizing that, and I do think that, you know, he's going to get his respect. Obviously, he's getting that if you're looking and saying that you're arguing between his ceiling versus Steph Curry's, who's won two MVPs and three championships.
Mm-hmm. You agree with Reggie Miller? Calling him, it's official, calling him a superstar, not just a star, he's a superstar now. That's what Reggie said like three or four times during the game.
I typically only say like there are five superstars in the league at a time. Like typically, I try not to like call too many of the fringe guys superstars. Mm-hmm. To me, like a superstar, you have to carry yourself off the court, which I do think Trae is like checking that box.
Yeah.
Like I do think he is winning over a generation of fans. Like I do think the way he carries himself, the casual NBA fan will gravitate towards. But also to be a superstar, you have to affect winning just by putting you on the team. And you know, like, I feel like Trae's doing that right now. Like, it, not to, like, bash Devin Booker, who is also, you know, making a star rise. You'd say they've had similar breakouts in the postseason. But, like, they didn't have to go sign or trade for one of the three best point guards in the last, you know, 15 years to help get that team over the hump. Like, is that fair to say? Like, they didn't have to go get a Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Like, this team is made in Trae's mold. Like, this team is built around him. Like, he is the leader of this team.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I do think like that, I'll give him the edge over Booker just for that, like if you're looking at the postseason stars, because, again, Chris Paul, kind of important for the Suns.
Yeah.
Some would say even the leader of the team. I don't know. Like,
for sure.
I don't know who's better between Paul and Booker when it really comes down to it at this point. Booker's probably a little bit better, but it's Paul's team. Like, this is Trae's team. Like, he has gone on the road three straight series and won a game one. Like, he has – think about how impressive that is. That can't have happened too many times in history, because usually if you start on the road in series one, that means you're lower than a four seed and you usually don't win.
Yeah.
Two series. Then last night, Trae Young, his 48 points, ties LeBron James and Kobe Bryant for most points scored in a postseason game in NBA history before turning 23. Him and LeBron are the only two players under the age of 22 under the age of 22 to score at least 48 points in a conference finals game. Ooh. Like, what he did is kind of unprecedented for his age, at least with, you know, only LeBron James, you know, being in your company.
And he was just having fun out there. You can tell that he's just doing kind of what he wants to do, playing his own game, and you can see it's affecting his teammates too.
Like, well, I mean, he's embraced the role of villain, so he wants to put – like, and that is another part of being a superstar is, like, people want to buy a ticket to either come watch you or come, like, cheer against you. And, like, he is showing that he has the flair for the dramatics, like going back to New York, taking a bow, you know, Philadelphia, chirping with them and having a big game one there. And then, you know, last night, the shimmy, the oop off the backboard, he is realizing that basketball is also an entertainment and he is playing himself. Like, he's not doing the front running that Steph Curry does when Steph Curry started shimmying after the team was really good and he's won an MVP and, like, they're up by 20 points and he's dancing around. No, Trae's doing it in the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah. It's a little bankhead bounce for him.
On a team that hasn't won anything yet, yeah. I mean, he's just being himself. And, yeah, the team rallies around him. And, you know, like I said, he is the unquestioned leader of this team. And I would say his swag and confidence has carried over on this team because we have talked about the, you know, the real lack of experience on this team. Like, you know, Gallinari's been in a couple playoff series. Capella been in a couple playoff series of the Rockets.
Lou Williams.
But Lou Williams, like, has bad playoff history. Like, you know, Lou Williams is been bad as a player, and like his teams have ultimately like crashed and burned, kind of same as Capella. But like this team doesn't have a lot of experience, especially the key pieces, and they don't care. Like they all look very, very confident.
Oh yeah,
Kayvon Herter.
Kayvon was back
home.
John Collins and Trae Young, like those guys don't have any experience, and they're going in on the road at home doing whatever. And you know,
love it.
Trae said he likes playing on the road.
Oh, you can tell.
Likes having the enemy crowd, hostile crowd.
You can tell.
Well, there are some guys who thrive in that moment. Like, you know, it was kind of cool to, like, hear Reggie Miller, you know, call the game because
Reggie's pretty good. I always like Reggie.
Reggie's kind of annoying, but whatever. I do think Reggie
Barb Albert's kind of losing a little
bit. Well, he's retiring. Yeah. They're pretty much forcing him into retirement at the end of the year because, like, working remotely, like, basically, like, made it tough. He's, like, 80 years old. Like,
no, yeah, I get it.
And I don't know if they're back in the stands or not. Did they show him in the arena? I don't know if they're back.
Did they show him in the arena? I kind of want to think. They got to be there by now, right? Because I would think say so, they were there in the second round.
But with Marv's age, who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
I know he's retiring at the end of the year.
No, they did because they had Grant on the sideline right there, okay. And they were talking to him. So, okay. Yeah, they were at the game.
But that is kind of cool to hear Reggie's perspective because Reggie was a villain too. Mm-hmm. So to him to kind of get to see and, you know, pass the baton to Trey, especially after the New York series. You know, I don't know what else to say other than I told you so all year long. All year long.
I mean, you think I was just throwing Eastern Conference championship bets out there for no reason?
All year long.
Yeah, I kind of think you were.
All year long, Draven.
You thought, but nope.
All year long.
Congrats. Congrats.
We'll talk about it more. We'll get to the Tennessee big news of the day. As you know, the quarterback of the future is now the quarterback of the past, or maybe the past of never was. Wasn't there one of those? Ghost of Christmas Past, was there one that never happened? I don't know, an alternate reality? Who knows?
It was like the future one.
The future.
Like, could have been.
Okay, never. Yeah. There should have been one of the things that could have been, never was. I don't know. We'll dive into that because that's where Caden Salter is right now as he has been dismissed from the team. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, got some Tennessee football news. You want the good news or the bad news?
There's good news?
Sort of, yeah.
Let's get the bad news out of the way, John. Get it out of the way.
You want the bad news out of the way?
Yeah.
Bad news out of the way is we don't care about animals. Animal cruelty charges have been dismissed, have been dropped against Aaron Beasley.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
And he'll be back on the team shortly.
Oh, jeez.
I mean,
eliminate him.
I don't know how the animal cruelty charges got dropped. I don't know the details of that, but Tennessee needs linebacking depth. So if you look at it from a football perspective, you need all the linebackers you can get. Ooh. So
kind of feels a little icky still.
Ooh, a kitten?
I don't know. A lot of people also acted like, oh, it's just a kitten. Remember
people
those people? So I'm sure there's also people out there.
If you
that
do the
like,
same thing to their pet, they'd be up in arms.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding. No kidding, people, man. Such hypocrites. Kitten.
Boo, I'm poor anti cat. That move.
Do we know they do we have an update on the cap?
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to Nugget. I don't know.
Nugget.
Ugh. I don't know what's happened to Nuggets, but I know Aaron Beasley, the charges have been dropped.
Hope the worst for him.
And your quarterback of the future that we used as copium whenever.
Yep.
What's old boy's name up in West Tennessee? He chose Alabama. Is it Ty Simpson? Is that what his name was?
Yeah, I think so.
Whenever he picked Alabama, you're like, it's okay, you got Salter. No, you don't. We've got nothing. As Tennessee, again, their quarterback of the future, Caden Salter, becomes the fourth of Tennessee's top six rated players from this recruiting class. He becomes the fourth that will not suit up for Tennessee. He joins Dylan Brooks, Cody Brown, and Katron Evans. So in a recruiting class that already wasn't great, you've lost four of your top six guys.
Woohoo.
Your quarterback of the future is no more. Now what?
Harrison Bailey, I guess.
Now, I will say I've seen people talking about the difference in, Aaron Beasley gets to come back. Is abusing a cat not worse than having a little weed? You got to keep in mind, Caden Salter also had the run-in with some of his teammates said he had a run-in with a drug dealer. Allegedly. Yep. Things I've seen people talk about that are smarter than me when it comes to this stuff said basically Tennessee's hands were tied here simply because the school was going to suspend him as a student for a year because he had gotten in trouble, twice. He had his own probation, had his disciplinary hearing, and then, gotten in more trouble. So, I don't know if this is Josh Heupel's decision even, really, because he was going to be out for a year is what people are kind of coming together to say. Kind of force the hand here. Caden Salter was a guy you were excited about. You wanted to see him in this offense, an athletic quarterback who can, make some good throws and is athletic. Instead, you won't see him, and I'm sure he'll go somewhere. JUCO for a year, transferred to a solid program, and I'm sure we'll hear about him being good in a couple years. He's got
great
talent. I mean,
he does.
He's talented. So I'm just prepared for that, that he will get rehabilitated. go somewhere. Who knows? Maybe at Florida with Dan Mullen.
Probably something.
Did this
like
move
that.
Surprise you?
No. Because whenever the news first came out, I assumed he was gone. Mm-hmm. Then other people said, he won't be gone. It's just a little weed. So I'd kind of be like, okay, what's going to happen? And then, you know, definitely wasn't surprised to see the news that he was gone. I mean, definitely not surprised. I don't know how you would be. Yep. If you're Josh Heupel, maybe you don't care that, you know, he was going to be suspended a year. Maybe you would have done this anyways. Yeah. Maybe you would have gotten rid of him anyway just because this is like, you know, a quote-unquote test, right, on how you're going to handle some disciplinary stuff. You gave him a second chance, and despite it just being a little weed, it was a second chance probationary thing where you're like, okay, you obviously didn't learn your lesson. You're out of here.
And if he wasn't a quarterback, like, would anybody even care? If he was just like a linebacker.
About him getting dismissed?
Yeah, about him getting dismissed. I feel like it's not as big of a deal. It's just because the name. And like you said, because we literally, this is all we could hang our hat on for
sure.
3 months,
sure.
Essentially.
Like, obviously, being a quarterback is more important than being a linebacker. Mm-hmm. Or a defensive back because you have, you know, more depth at that position and you have guys that, you know, more guys that have to play and you can easily plug in. But at the same time, like, again, we talked about yesterday, you want your quarterback to be smart and, like, kind of represent your program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's kind of the face of your program.
And he had to know that, man. Like, he had to know we were in shambles and, like, he was kind of this bright and shining star. Like, just don't get trouble.
You would think
so. It's not that hard.
And you, especially after getting in trouble once before, right?
Right, like, exactly.
If this was the first offense, I don't think anything happens. I think it's a slap on the wrist. And, like, nothing happens. It's a be smarter. Like, don't be riding around with weed in the car.
Got caught second time.
You think he cared?
I touched on it yesterday, too. Like, how are you that dumb that you're like, I already don't even have my license in the car.
Right.
My taillights are out. It's like 3 a.m. I got weed in the car, too. Like, what are you doing, man? Like,
you think he even cared at all at that point? Like, I mean, he's already been suspended this long, he just got reinstated, but like probably has no chance at starting. Do you think he kind of saw it like that? Like, I don't really have any opportunity here. Like, whatever.
Maybe it is. And also, like, I mean, got to keep in mind, he just turned 18. You're a little bit more reckless then.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any side effects of, you know, his dad's health situation that was so bad, you know, that they're raising money for. And, like, I don't know if that's, like, you know, led him to even being a little bit more destructive. You know, people handle grief a little differently, stress a little differently. Or maybe just somebody who's always, like, had it, I don't want to say easy, but, like, been a big star at his high school in Texas and, you know, was the big man on campus walking around, or at least wants to be, like, carries himself that way and just needs to get humbled and, like, learn his lesson. This happens, like, all across the country at schools. Like, of every recruiting class, you'll have one or two people, like, basically get derailed before they even start. It just sucks when it's your quarterback, and it sucks when you ain't got a lot else to be excited about. Right?
Yeah.
And it might be one of those little things that once you just get caught, you think that you're invincible for a while. You're like,
once you get caught once
and then you get in trouble, then you don't think you're going to get in trouble again for a little bit because you think you're just riding that smooth, just safe ground, and then this comes up on you.
See, I think that should be the opposite. I think whenever you get in trouble, you're supposed to be like, hey, let's lay low for a couple of months.
They got eyes,
like,
on me now. Yeah.
Yeah, like, let's just lay low. I'm on probation.
Suspension, laid low.
I just don't think he played. I don't think he was worried about the consequences. I don't know if he thought he was invincible. I just don't think he was worried about the consequences. Who knows? But do we know if he was high when he got arrested? Like, I know he had weed, but, like, had they been smoking weed? Like, did he get charged for anything with that? Like, I don't think
that stuff's, like, you can't really, like, prove
right.
it, really. Yeah. So
honestly, not making the best decisions out at 3 o'clock in the morning, like Cam said, with without a license and headlights out. Like, you're asking for trouble. Like, especially in a day and age, like, where you can get Uber for $10 if you have to make a run somewhere. Like, you'd think you'd have somebody there that could come pick you up. Like, you don't have to be.
Especially, yeah, like, with his status almost on campus, you feel like he's got somebody that could scoop or anything. Like,
I mean, I would imagine that you could. Again, depends what they're up to. If they're out riding around smoking weed, maybe you can't call, like, a football manager or somebody and be like, hey, coach, need a ride to go pick up some food. Or, you know, I don't know what the hell is going on. But, yeah, when the taillight's out, you can't be riding dirty on top of it.
Yeah.
Especially when you are somebody.
Idiotic.
Did they not listen to Chris Carter, man? You always have a fall guy. Who was that offensive lineman in the front? Like, make him drive.
Yeah.
Make him drive. Make him drive his car that his headlights are working. If he doesn't have a car, make him drive your car.
Yeah.
Make him be the fall guy. Hey, bro, sorry, I saw your recruiting profile. You're, like, 1,500th in the class. Like, I don't think you got NFL aspirations or you know, plans of being a big time player here. Why don't you go ahead and take this fall for me?
Take the wheel.
You ever seen the the Biggie movie? You ever seen Notorious, bro? His friend went to prison for a couple of years over a gun, and then Biggie got him. So like, can you hold this down for me? Again, you're ranked in like the 1500s, bro. Like, it'll be fine. Your family will forgive you.
I don't think that matters. I don't think he's gonna agree with that.
No, yeah, no, he wouldn't. But all, like, maybe he should have been like, hey, bro, I already got priors.
Yeah.
I'm already on probation. You're going to have to take this one. You'll just get put on probation, too, and then we'll be fine. Like, obviously just poor decision-making all around.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if the talent, if the talent outweighs him being a knucklehead, and someone will take a chance on him. We'll see. Like, he'll go somewhere and get another chance. Like I said, it'll probably be JUCO, and then he'll be able to work his way up. We'll see what level he can get back to, or maybe he doesn't. Maybe this is just the second mistake in a long line of mistakes, and he falls through the cracks and never plays big-time college football.
What
we'll see.
Trending like with this kind of decision-making.
Yeah. Like, we'll see. Like, who knows exactly what happened in the first incident? His name got, cleared pretty quickly, but he was still on thin ice or something. Mm-hmm. So, like, either this makes him really reevaluate his choices, because again, you've lost a pretty big opportunity here. Like, either way, wherever you go the next year, you ain't gonna be at UT, and you ain't gonna be improving your situation with A, chance to play, and B, facilities, and the chance to be the man on campus, or live the college athlete life. That's going to be taken from you after getting a little taste of it, right? I mean, he got here in January, so he got to live a semester of at least going to class, being popular, people liking him, making friends, beautiful girls on campus. Like, he got to live that for a bit. And, wherever he ends up next year isn't going to be as glamorous. It'll be either, like I said, a JUCO or going down a level to play football immediately. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's going to be bad. And, for his sake, you hope that he gets his head on straight for his life and his career. For Tennessee's sake, we're one step closer to Brian Maurer, QB1.
Oh, my gosh.
Brian Maurer, QB1.
Maybe this is for the best, man. We always had the whole, let's see JG get in there. That young, exciting freshman, let's throw him in there. It's his time. And then he finally gets in there, and it's just a big disappointment. So maybe this is just for the best.
I will say Texas probably get a little bit more credit for being a good quarterback than, JG coming out of New Jersey.
Yeah.
But JG was ranked as a big time.
He was ranked higher than.
Well, and was labeled as a dual threat guy, so he thought he was going to be that young, exciting playmaker, and he wasn't.
He looked dual threat running against the New Jersey kids running 5'5".
Yeah, no, he wasn't. He wasn't. So who knows? Maybe this is a name we don't ever hear from again, really. Or maybe he goes to JUCO, then goes to Florida or Georgia, and comes in here and beats your ass one time, put your face in it. They tell the story when he gets drafted in the first round, the NFL draft.
Yeah.
This could go one of two ways. So, the linebacking depth gets a little bit better as Aaron Beasley looks to be reinstated very soon as the charges were dismissed against him. The quarterback room gets a little bit lonelier. Harrison Bailey and Brian Maurer now look at each other, feeling one less person to worry about. You got Hendon Hooker and Mackenzie Milton, too. I always forget about them.
Joe Milton.
Joe Milton. Who did I say?
Mackenzie Milton.
UCF. Yeah. Okay.
Would've liked the kid from Indiana coming in next year, too. Big stud himself. Was it Taven Jackson? Is that right?
I would have had no clue what his name is, but I know you're talking about. Like,
I think it's Taven Jackson. Because
he said that Heupel told him that Peyton Manning was telling him about him, so. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right. Tennessee football news. We gave it to you. Anything else you boys want to talk about Tennessee football? Because
give us the death penalty.
Was
there some good news? Wasn't there good news in there?
The good news was linebacking depth got a little bit better.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's great.
Usually it's bad news is because I wanted to have more of a discussion about Caden Salter.
Yeah.
Rather than talk about that just for a little bit and then get to the good news and it just be that we let the guy who maybe beat a cat back on the team.
Trade him for Caden Salter.
How do they know it was him? Security cameras?
How do they know what? The one about being the cat? No security cameras. I think if there was video, then they might not have been able to get the charges dismissed. Yeah. No, it was a roommate's cat, and the roommate said that she had text of basically her roommate's boyfriend, this guy beating her cat is essentially like what the
that's the
story
evidence
was
behind it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Which I don't know if they've retracted it or what. Again, I don't know the details surrounding the charges being dismissed, but that was just kind of the story behind that. We told you about Tennessee's non-conference basketball schedule a little bit. Yesterday, they have finalized it. They have announced it. Season tips off November 9th against UT Martin. That'll be your season opener, obviously your home opener. We're not going on the road at UT Martin. Followed by ETSU on the 14th, and then you get to play in some of the bigger boys. So you got two tune-ups. Then you got Villanova up in Connecticut, followed by either UNC or Purdue up in Connecticut. Tennessee Tech, Presbyterian. Did they say that name? Presbyterian?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Presbyterian. And then you go at Colorado. December 7th will be Texas Tech 3 days later. So December 4th at Colorado. December 7th, they go up to New York. Be kind of a tough trip. From Colorado all the way to New York.
Yeah, no kidding.
Is it December 4th around the time like finals usually are too? Seems like a tough ask there. And then Memphis plays in Nashville December 18th. We didn't have Arizona, I don't believe, yesterday. We didn't at least talk about Arizona. You play Arizona on December 22nd. Okay. And then January 29th, you will play Texas as you break up a little bit of your SEC schedule. So there you go. Pretty good schedule. You know, Texas should be a top 10 team. Memphis, who knows? I'm sure they'll be underachieving with Penny Hardaway. Although it'll be nice to beat them and kind of win that series.
Mm-hmm.
Since they were able to beat you in Knoxville, what, 2 years
That'd
ago?
That'd be an amped up game, too, in Nashville, I think.
Oh, yeah. It should
just
be.
Just a little rivalry.
I don't know how good Memphis is supposed to be. So if they're not good and Tennessee is, maybe Memphis fans don't show up. Maybe not, Tennessee fans kind of take that over. I don't know. I know Tennessee's at least going to be interesting and like the fans won't be checked out by then. I don't know what Memphis is kind of projecting because I know they had a lot of like attrition.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of transfers out, but I know they had some big, you know, guys come in too. So I don't know what they're kind of slotted to be. So Villanova, either UNC, Purdue, Colorado, Texas Tech, Memphis, Arizona, and Texas. Not bad. It's pretty solid, especially if you know with the Villanova, they're going to be a top ranked team, and you know Purdue, I think it's supposed to be pretty good too. So either
pretty easy though. I mean, Texas Tech, we've said they're probably not going to be as good as last year. Arizona just lost Sean Miller as well, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, I can't imagine Arizona's going to be very good either. But like at least you're playing like good Power Five schools. Like
name recognition.
Yeah, there's some name recognition with both Texas Tech and Arizona. And I don't know if they're going to be tournament teams or not this year. Again, I don't know where these teams project, but yesterday you had some former Tennessee players go through the combine. Produce some jaw-dropping numbers. Keon Johnson breaking a record for the best vertical leap ever at the combine as he got, 48 inches in the air?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Bunnies. I mean, I can imagine that will help his draft stock, and you just kind of see the athleticism. And, you know, your team in the NBA isn't drafting Keon Johnson for what he is now. You're drafting for what you think he can become. So I know there's a lot of people questioning how he could be a top 10 pick with how he looks sometimes at Tennessee. And, you know, sometimes Springer looked better. Why would he go at the end of the first round and Keon be a top 10 pick? And that's why. A 48-inch vertical.
Yep.
The best ever at the combine.
All three Vols were in the top six for their height.
In terms of
of standing.
In terms of bunnies.
And max.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know Pons had a good day, too. His athleticism helped him. We'll talk with Derek Murray. Does some NBA scouting. NBA draft writer. Talk to him at 1:30, kind of get what he thinks that does for their stock and where they project, and kind of ask him a little bit about Candy Chandler as well, as I'm sure he's done some scouting of him. We'll do that at 1:30 on the G3 Help Me Hotlines.
Got a new Keon had the bunnies, though. What dunk did he have? Was it against Georgia, right, when he threw it down on that guy?
Body.
No, yeah, we knew that he had the athleticism, and that's why, like, he was a top 10 pick. Again, like, no one thinks he is that as a player yet, but you think you can get there and mold him and take a chance on him, and maybe he can be a guy that can get his own shot and jump over people and be a good pro.
Does worry me a little bit with Kennedy Chandler, how we're hyping him up all the, you know, talking all this talk, and did the same thing with Keon. And, you know, like you said, he didn't ever really lived up to expectations. Well, I mean, what was Keon's best game last year? Was it Kentucky and Rupp? Was that his best game?
I would say so. I mean, that was just a great moment. There was a good stretch that he played, but I would say that was probably at least his best moment.
Yeah.
I don't know about, like, statistically, but that second half, you know, where he just kind of took over. Like,
right.
I don't know if that'll be, like, his actual best game. Scored 23 against Auburn, 27 at Kentucky. That's the one you talked about. Yeah, that was his highest scoring figure.
And again,
well,
it was almost like, oh, we finally got him unleashed. We finally got him going. And then just kind of, I feel like he never had a huge performance.
Yeah, it was really
after
the only time he broke 20 points after that would have been against Alabama in the SEC tournament and against Auburn at Auburn in a 5-point loss. So, you know, I would say, like, overall, he was pretty disappointing. I mean, he was, again, he was a guy that was ranked as a 5-star. In large part because of what he can become. I do think with Kenny Chandler, and I did say this yesterday, like, I do feel like he is a better player right now. Like, I think he was a better player senior year of high school than what Keon Johnson was last year for Tennessee. I'll be disappointed if Kenny Chandler, we're talking about him just kind of like, well, okay, you got your 1 year, now let's go see you in the pros. Like, let's see if you can morph into the player we think you can become. Like, I think he'll be ready to go day one. Now, to be fair, like, I do, like, Keon wasn't a top 10 player, right? Like, I don't think Keon was was he top 10?
Don't
I think so.
I didn't think he was that, like, quite that high.
I'm going to say he was like 12, 15.
He was 19 on 247's composite. So, okay. I do think the difference between the 19th ranked player in the class and, like, the 6th ranked player in the class is actually pretty drastic. Mm-hmm. And, like, Chandler's a top 6 guy, which means that you should be, like, one of the best freshmen in the country, but also just, like, already one of the best players in the country. It's kind of how I view that. Like, 19th, yeah, like, you're a 5-star. Because you're so athletic and you can make it to the NBA, you can be a first-round pick, which he's going to be, Keon Johnson. But with Chandler, again, just watching his high school games a little bit, he just had such a better feel for the game that Keon Johnson showed it all last year, like at any point last year. I don't want to, like, compare him, but he was much closer to, like, a Trae Young type of point guard and being able to, like, get people in spots and, like, know when to, like, make certain moves. Keon never figured that out even through a year through college. Like, he was just kind of a bull in a china shop even in that.
Yeah.
You know, the end of the season against Oregon State. Like, he just never learned the feel for the game.
The one thing that kind of scares me a little bit just for how much praise we're giving Kenny Chandler is Josiah Jordan James. He was like, wasn't he one of the top in his class?
He was also a 5-star. Although I will say with him, like, I Josiah Jordan James, for me, like, he has the feel for the game. Like, I do think he's a very smart basketball player. I just don't think he's lived up to the hype either. But again, he was a guy that was, like, ranked 22nd. Not exactly a top, like, level prospect, like, you know, especially for, like, the NBA. I don't think Josiah's been disappointing, like, as a basketball player. If you were holding him to, like, a 5-star, like, one-and-done standard, sure. But, like, I think he's a very smart basketball player. I think he's good. I think he was kind of hurt his first year by not being on a good team, like, where they didn't have a scorer. Like, the go-to scorer that year was either him or John Fulkerson. And, like, I don't think that was the role that Josiah's meant for.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was better last year when he had a little help, but I do think, like, even more talent this year. Like, I expect a huge year from Josiah once he kind of gets over his wrist issue.
Yeah.
He has a broken wrist.
Gosh, we're going to need him to.
Oh, yeah, no, I expect him to be – I mean, he should be the leader of the team, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They kind of talked about that at the end of last year that he was the leader of the team. I was like, wait, really? Like, we didn't know that. Like, how come that wasn't talked about? But going into it now, like, that should be him because, you know, Fulkerson – yeah, he's the oldest, but, like, Josiah should be a bigger part of this team.
Yep.
Excited for basketball. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Ah, man. Harrison, Steph Curry for Trae Young. Did see Draymond Green's tweet just now come across the timeline.
Nah, boy.
These Hawks are unbothered. Saying? That's a great thing to have in the playoffs. It's actually a thing, says Draymond Green. He would know. I mean, champion.
Mm-hmm.
They are loose, man. I mean, you can tell it.
Unbothered.
You can just see it, yeah.
Unbothered.
Unbothered, loose, same thing. The Bucks just seem tight towards the end. You got Connington airballing a three.
They got pressure. Yeah, let Connington pressure. Take the game, the big shots. Yeah.
Minutes right now.
Well, they don't have anybody. Like, everything I said yesterday, like, kind of came out. Like, they don't have anybody to come off the bench. They kind of stink. Like, this roster's not good. Like, P.J. Tucker can't score.
No.
Brook Lopez can't play defense against Trey. And you look around, like, Pat Connington played 29 minutes. How'd that go for you? You have him shooting the game winner. It didn't go well.
Let's say had Drew Holiday balling.
Drew Holiday did ball out offensively, but, like, hey, like, you got to maybe slow down Trey a little bit, bro.
Yeah. You expect him to drop 33 every night? Because I don't.
No, but, I mean, you could say Trey's not going to drop 48, but, like, Trey's going to win that matchup, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Trey's going to win that matchup. But, like, Drew's not going to hit 5 of 12 threes. If I'm the Bucks, I'd be pretty worried. Because, like, the only chance you have is trying to play Giannis at the five because, like, Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis ain't going to give you nothing. But if you play Giannis at the five, the problem is Giannis has to do everything offensively and defensively.
Mm-hmm.
What a performance. Mm. Wow. Historic. You were witnessing history last night, Draven.
I know.
I still need Hayden to call in and apologize. Hayden left you to take all this blame. You
got, that is true.
You got Charlie and Chance trying to sneak by yesterday and talk about how they're rooting for the Hawks all of a sudden. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
I don't even want their support.
Yeah,
to be
we're rooting for the Hawks now. Okay. Yeah.
I think they both said the Hawks are going to win now after last night's performance.
Don't bending, need y'all.
Bending the knee. I'm just surprised Trey's able to still do what he did last night after Doc Rivers figured him out, like Chance said.
This is the greatest like playoff debut, right? Like ever. Like this has to be, right?
Well, he's made the history in terms of, 20 points and 7 assists to start a career, career. No one's ever done that. Highest scoring, I believe, in a conference finals game ever.
Yeah.
He has 6 games with 30 plus points, which is the first like
on the road.
Most ever. Yeah, on a first time in the playoffs.
Yeah. I also saw some people talking about I think it was combined points and assists through first 13 games, and other people on the list up there were Luka and Oscar Robertson, but they had to do it through 2 years of playoffs, and Trey's done it in one. We are watching history.
Yeah, I mean, it might be Cam in terms of the greatest playoff debuts, maybe. Wow.
22 years old.
Especially because usually when you make a debut in the playoffs, you don't win, 2 rounds.
Yeah.
Not usually. How silly do you feel, Draven?
What are you coming at me for?
Bashing the Hawks or
all year long.
No.
All year long.
Not
me
necessarily
and Cam,
bashing.
Me and Cam,
them.
They mocked us when they started out 14 and 20. They mocked us.
There was a point he said they weren't going to make playoffs. I'm pretty sure.
He sat here and fixed his lips and told me LaMelo Ball is better than Trae Young. The Hornets are better than the Hawks. He sat here and told me that. The Cavs are better than the Hawks. Uh-huh. The Knicks were going to beat the Hawks. That was just a couple weeks ago. He's telling me the Knicks were going to beat the Hawks.
Lord.
Sixers in 5, Sixers in 6, Sixers
in
7.
If you want to call out me, you can call out literally everybody. Everybody's picked against the Hawks.
I am. I told you. I want a formal written apology from everybody.
You're the only one sitting here right now. Hayden won't call in. Chance and
Coward
Charlie.
Hayden.
Chance
Coward.
And Charlie bent the knee.
I bent the knee too. I told you. Good team. They're going to win this series. What do you guys want? Make you a cake? You want me to make you an apology cake? Or what are we talking about here?
Hold on 1 second. When did you say they're going to win the series?
Said in the group text. I said, I think they're going to win the series. I think they got a good chance.
Is that what he... Okay. Yeah. Okay. That they have a good chance. I believe is how you said it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is progress for you, but you sat here on the radio.
But
you sat here on the radio yesterday and said the Bucks were still going to win. So don't say you picked the Hawks. You didn't pick the Hawks. Now you agree that they shouldn't be some big underdog. You did agree with that. Credit where it's due.
Yep.
Credit where it's due. I was just wondering if you appreciated the greatness you saw last night. 48-11 and 7.
I agree with Reggie Miller. I think he's a superstar now. I think you put super in front of the star.
Top 5 offensive player. Just completely molded a team.
All-star just about every year from here on out, probably.
Yeah, yeah. You won't have him getting slighted because of his reputation of empty stats guy, which, I mean, I didn't get mad about the all-star game snub this year because at the time when the all-star game came around, they were 14 and 20. Like, yeah, I understand not rewarding losing, even though I don't think the losing was all his fault by any means. But, I didn't care about that. But, yeah, no, I'm excited to see the future after the dust has settled. Like, do the Hawks end up on Christmas? Do they end up getting a lot of primetime games because the NBA wants to push new stars? And I do think the TV ratings we talked about yesterday is kind of saying, hey, there is a thirst for new stars. Mm-hmm. Like, between what's going on in Phoenix and here in Atlanta, there are some guys that you should maybe market more. Like, I don't know how many people want to watch the Sixers on Christmas Day next year. It's not a fun style of basketball. Like, Trey should earn that by cutting their head off, in my opinion. Yeah.
A home Christmas Day game?
I think they're going to send us on the road.
That would be
Madison
my dream.
Square Garden is what I'm bracing for, because we know the Knicks are going to be that first game. So that's what I'm banking for, which is fine. Beggars can't be choosers. Unless we're in the finals. Maybe it'll be a Suns-Hawks rematch in the finals. Who knows that they'll put us on Christmas Day. But the thirst is there. And like I said, the narrative is gone. We've come a long way from empty stats guy to higher ceiling than Steph Curry, though. Even I didn't see that coming in 2 months.
Yep.
Okay, just a little question for you. Who is impacted the most by Trey's play right now on that Hawks roster? Who has changed the most with kind of how this is going?
I mean, I would say just Capella, just because – well, I don't know, because Capella was the same in Houston, just but he also had James Harden. I mean, that's the thing about Trey. And again, not to, completely go overboard with "I told you so's" because you guys were pretty annoyed at me 2 weeks ago. Ryan was like,
"Don't stop it. You love telling me I told you so."
It was deserved, intern Ryan.
It is deserved.
I just kept you off the list of apologies because you're fine. You don't have to apologize. But you know, like I think everyone on the team has been raised. I don't know how you could watch the Hawks and not think that this is an example of a player making his teammates better. I think everyone benefits from it. Some guys don't do it. Luka Doncic. Some guys don't do it. You can't really argue about it right now.
What are we arguing? That Luka's not – that he doesn't elevate his
anything
team?
Involving Luka
that he doesn't
right
elevate
now
his team?
Sit on the sidelines, Dallas boy. Sit on the sidelines. Team still playing's got the mic right now. Up 1-0. Ooh. Luka can't even win a playoff series. How many points Luka got in the conference finals? Oh, zero? Oh, okay. What about John Morant? How many he got? Oh, zero? Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Oh, okay.
See, why you got to do that? Why you got to put everybody else down?
Just
you can't just say Trey's good
because
and everybody else
you know
is
why
good, too?
No, you know why I have to? Mm-hmm. It's not you two. I don't take it personal. It's those damn rankings that came out a couple months ago. The top 25 players under the age of 25 based on star potential. They rated Trae Young 16th. 16th?
Yeah.
Who?
Like, not even like star potential? Like, did you not see that this guy could be a star?
The disrespect.
We've
been getting disrespected for 3 years. I'm tired of it.
It's true.
And you tell me I got to stop saying it was expected. It was expected. Everybody else just didn't see it. Sorry, everybody else was wrong.
Yeah, we weren't wrong.
City has been made fun of too much. I need this.
Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.